If you're like most Christians, you're probably a little bit confused about what to do about Halloween. Stay tuned, we're going to talk about that.
Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, this is Meredith Curtis. Welcome to Finish Well Radio. This is October, and it's the month that a lot of people in America celebrate Halloween. And so we're going to talk a little about that today. And I have my very special friend with me, Leah Brooks. Leah, welcome.
Thank you, Meredith. I'm so excited to be here.
Leah, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and where they can find you on the web?
Sure. My name is Leah Brooks, and I'm a homeschooling mom of two teenage daughters, one of whom has special needs. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/LeahBrooks, LEAHBROOKS, or www.jeremiahgardens.com. That's jeremiahgardens.com.
And Leah not only sells Tower Gardens, but she has a real ministry with nutrition and health, and she's really impacted a lot of the people in our church. But more than that, today we're going to talk about some spiritual aspects of Halloween. So as we do that, Leah, can you share with us your personal experience and, if you will, journey with Halloween?
Sure. Well, I was born in 1969, so I was really a child of the 70s and the 80s. And in the 70s, and starting in the 50s, there was a real push in this country to make Halloween very family-friendly. So I celebrated like everyone else did in our church. We had Halloween every year, where we all dressed up and had candy. And then also in my school. So Halloween was a big deal. You know, we had a church event, we had a public school event, and then, of course, Halloween night, we would run around and knock on everyone's door and ask for candy and play games and play pranks. That was how most Americans between, I would say, the 50s and the 90s celebrated Halloween. And then I sort of expected to have the same experience with my own children when I had my daughter in 1998. But what I found, it was different. It was darker. I was seeing costumes that maybe I just didn't notice when I was younger. But, you know, the costumes were darker. They were kind of scary. And I started to get a feeling that maybe this is not something we should participate. And right about that time, too, I actually became a stronger Christian than I had been. I was, you know, not a real strong Christian up until that point. And thinking about how Christ wants us to spend our time and also realizing, you know, really, what is Halloween? I started to have second thoughts about what we were doing. But I decided I was going to redeem the holiday. And so we decided that instead of handing out just candy, we would hand out candy and Bible tracts. So we did that for a year. One year we handed out candy and Bible tracts. I wouldn't suggest just handing out Bible tracts because the kids will be upset. Got to put some candy in that and make sure it's good candy. But then my children were still experiencing things that I didn't, you know, we'd open up the door and there were Playboy bunny costumes or other things that, and they kind of were questioning, you know, Mom, what is that? But I thought, well, you know, we need to participate in the culture. We're Christians. And so I said, let's go one step further. Let's do a gospel presentation. So we set up a table on our front lawn and we filled the table with lots of cool things, like we had cold spaghetti and peeled grapes. And we had the kids come and put their hands in the bowls and try to guess what the things were. And of course, the cold spaghetti was supposed to be intestines, and the peeled grapes, we told them they were eyeballs. And then we gave them the gospel presentation. And that same year, my mom, you know, as I was doing this, I had little children and they were kind of getting in the way. And my mom said, well, let me go ahead and take the kids and we'll just go around the block and we'll go trick or treating. So she took them. And when she came back, my oldest daughter was crying. And I said, what happened? And she said, oh, there was a house. It was really scary. You went in through the garage and, you know, all these frightening things. And so I started questioning, you know, are we really even supposed to be participating in this tradition, in this American tradition? So the next year, we actually didn't do anything for Halloween. But that didn't feel right either, because the children knew, you know, Halloween is the second most the second biggest holiday in this country after Christmas. So the children knew there was activity going on, and it builds up. It starts now. I mean, it starts a month ago in September, and it builds all the way up until this grand finale of Halloween. So I was praying for something else that we could do, and so we decided to participate in fall festivals at local churches. And so, we kind of went through a whole evolution of how to celebrate Halloween in America if you're a Christian. That was fine too, but I really wanted something more meaningful for my children's lives. That's when we ended up stumbling upon what Meredith is going to talk about later, called Reformation Day.
Leah, thank you so much. And that Reformation Day, we are going to talk about that later and how we celebrate Christian heroes. It's really fun. But before we get to that, Leah, you've done some research because you were worried about the darkness of the holiday. And I was too as a mom. It seems one thing to participate in something yourself, but then when you have your children, you want to protect them from anything that could cause them harm. And I know you did some research, so can you tell us a little more about the history of Halloween?
At the time that I started doing this research, I was working at the hospital. I'm a respiratory therapist also. One of the nurses, she really ministered to me, and she said, Leah, I don't think you understand what Halloween's all about, and we don't celebrate it. And I thought, she's just one of those crazy Christians, and, we can make this work for our family and honor Christ, too, at the same time. But what she said to me stuck, and I couldn't quite get it out of my head. I'm sure it was the Lord who was nudging me in the right direction, and I'm grateful for her. So I just went on the internet, and I did a search of the origins of Halloween, and I really didn't realize the history of it. It started in the area of Ireland, Wales, Great Britain. It was the Celtics that began celebrating Halloween. Their purpose for it was to gain favor from the dead. So once a year, they called it a celebration of the dead, and they would honor the dead. They believed that their spirits came back, and at the same time, they could get favor from them, like they could learn the future from the dead, or they could curry favor, or they could make their crops grow better, or they could, call for rain. So it was a very important celebration for them. And they had big bonfires, and there were pumpkins, and a lot of the traditions that we have now with our Halloween began there. And then there's some question about the exact origins of Halloween, but that tradition went on for many, many years. And as it spread throughout Europe, it changed a little bit here and there, but the theme of it is really celebrating the dead, honoring the dead. When the pilgrims came over to the Americas, they did not celebrate Halloween, but as more and more people came, and especially during the potato famine, Ireland's potato famine, and the Irish came over to this country, Halloween became a yearly staple in this country. At that point in time, I think what most people don't realize is, as early as the late 1800s, it was still a pagan celebration of the dead. It was not what we see today. It wasn't until about the 1930s and 40s that Christians said, I think we need to take this celebration of the dead that we see going on all across the country, and let's kind of Christianize it. Let's turn it into something that's a little more palatable, a little more child-friendly. So, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, it was mostly a day for adults. And, there's also a historical aspect of it, too, with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church tried to modify what they saw a pagan holiday and Christianize it also. But in this country, it was more of, an adult holiday celebrating the dead. And they said, let's make this more family friendly. So they said, let's, bring it into the schools, let's bring it into the churches, and let's let the children do the celebrating instead of the adults. So, as I was growing up, and probably as Meredith was growing up, it was more of a child-friendly activity. But as we're seeing now, there's roots of it that are not good. And the roots of it are definitely pagan.
So, Leah, then we're saying that this holiday was clearly pagan, and everyone knew it. And so Christians just stayed away from it. And somehow they decided they would take something that was clearly begun as a pagan holiday and try to make it palatable. And wow, that just seems very strange to me, especially something that would be focused on death and darkness. And so I think Leah and I would both want to move on to something different and just leave that kind of celebrating behind. Leah, have you noticed that as our culture becomes less and less Christian, Halloween becomes more and more important?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, when I was a child, it was not the number two holiday in this country, but it is now. I think it's more important. I think there's, you can also see that there are, witchcraft going on Halloween. You know, these things were always rumored when I was a child, but now it's absolutely happening. There's a lot of vandalism. So we can clearly see in this country that Halloween is being used again by cultures, by religions that are not Christian as a way to celebrate the earth, celebrate the dead, celebrate animals. Actually, I thank God for that because sometimes we as Christians, we can get really confused when things aren't black and white, but we're in an age right now where it is more black and white. We can see where the Lord is working. We can see where the devil is working. And when I say I thank God for that, I hope that doesn't scare you or shock you, because all I mean to say is it's easier for our children to recognize what Christ is doing in this world versus what the devil is doing in this world. And it's easier for us to steer them in the right directions to say, here is the light, children. This is where we want to be. And here is the darkness. Here's where we don't want to be. When I was a kid, it was mucked up. I understand why they tried to Christianize, why the Catholic Church tried to Christianize this holiday. I understand why our country tried to Christianize this holiday, because there wasn't necessarily a clear definition, but we have that now. And so now we can make the right choices for our family.
Thank you so much. That is such good encouragement. And thank you so much, Leah, for being with us. We're going to move on now, and we're going to talk about, instead of celebrating Halloween, what is a way that you can use this time of the year to teach your children about things that really matter? And if you're like me, we're saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we'll celebrate things that will glorify Him and encourage our families.
Before there was Halloween, Christians celebrated All Saints' Day on November 1st. Here at Powerline Productions, we would rather celebrate heroes of the faith and tell their amazing stories to our children. So when the end of October rolls around, we have a Heroes for Jesus party. Friends and family members dress up as heroes from long ago, like George Mueller, David Livingstone, Amy Carmichael, St. Patrick, and Martin Luther. They share their stories and play games. If you'd like to have your own Heroes for Jesus party, we have a book for you. Celebrate our Christian heroes instead of Halloween. Inside, you'll find costume ideas, dialogues, and games for many heroes of the faith and instructions to set up your own party. You can order this book at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
We have decided to follow the example of Christians throughout the centuries who have looked back at the heroes of the faith who are cheering us on. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." After God talks about all the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, he begins Hebrews 12 by calling them a cloud of witnesses. We can learn from their example. So this is a great time of year to learn about men and women throughout history who have served Jesus wholeheartedly and shared the gospel with folks around the world. Today we're also talking to Matthew Herzog. Matthew, it's so good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Matthew, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Matthew Herzog. I'm 16 years old, and I'm homeschooled, and I'm oldest of five kids. My oldest sister, her name's Emma. She's 13 years old. And then going down from there, I have Adam, who's 7 years old, and then Charlotte, who's 5 years old, and then Anna, who is about to be 3 years old.
Awesome. Now, your whole family last year, I saw you guys at a Heroes for Jesus party, and the little ones seemed to be having a great time, but you were involved with helping out. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically, I played the role of Martin Luther, and I also came early just to help set up and stuff, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, especially with all the little kids, as I mean, they were so interested in asking so many questions about Martin Luther's life, and we did little activities like nailing the 95 theses to a door. So we actually brought a door, and they were able to read the theses out loud, and then they would nail it with little thumbtacks to the door. So it was a lot of fun.
Now, you and your mom made that door, right? What did you make it out of?
Well, we actually just took a cork board and then taped a picture of the door to it. So that's basically all we did to it.
Well, it looked very nice. It was really neat. Matthew, would you recommend participating in a Heroes for Jesus party to other teens? Do you think they'd enjoy it?
Yeah, I think they would enjoy it a lot. I mean, I know I had a lot of fun just preparing for it and just being able to talk to a lot of people. But then I look around and there's a couple other teens that did roles in it. And I just saw how much they're having fun and how much everybody's laughing. And also they got to learn a lot of stuff.
Matthew, thank you so much for joining us. And now I am speaking to Hannah Brooks. Hannah, hi. It's good to have you here.
Hi, Miss Meredith. I'm so glad to be here.
Hannah, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am 15. I'm the youngest of two girls, and I'm homeschooled, and I have a business out of my house, and I travel a lot with my family with my mom's business.
Hannah and her family travel a lot to homeschool conventions, so if you see a Tower Garden display, you might go and find Hannah there selling Tower Gardens. Hannah, you have been also involved in the Heroes for Jesus party, and tell us about what you did last year.
Well, I got to be Elizabeth Elliot, so I got sent the script, and I memorized it, and I was so nervous, but then I went to pick out my outfit, and it was so much fun, and I got to put on, like, bright red lipstick, because Elizabeth Elliot is from the 50s, and then I said my lines, and it was so much fun, but it was really, really cold. But it was so much fun and so rewarding.
Yes, last year our Heroes for Jesus party was outside, and it got a little chilly that night, so we were all in our costumes, but the lucky ones were the people who were wearing monk's gowns because they stayed warm. Hannah, do you think other teens would enjoy doing what you did?
I do. Being a teen myself, I loved it. I thought it was so much fun.
Thank you so much. Now I'm talking to Marissa Smith. Marissa, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thank you, Ms. Smith, for having me here.
Marissa, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Marissa, but some people call me May, and I am 17 years old. I am homeschooled. I've been homeschooled all my life, and I have a younger brother and two parents who are awesome, and I love Jesus, and I love to read books, like really any books, and I really like to watch murder TV shows.
Awesome, May. I do too. So, Marissa, how many Heroes for Jesus parties have you been to?
Well, I've grown up in Powerline, so pretty much everyone that Powerline has hosted I've been to. I may have missed a couple, but that was rare.
So tell us about what you remember about being part of the Heroes for Jesus parties.
I remember being, like, really little. Like, I think I was, like, 7, and I came as Esther one time because we were all, like, allowed to dress up as little kids. That was really, really fun, and, like, my mom helped me. She gave me clip-on earrings, which was really cool because it was the first time, like, that I wore big girl earrings. And I also, like, learned a lot, and I learned, like, about Francis of Assisi, and when I was little, I'm thinking that he was a really cool guy. And Martin Luther and how he nailed the 95 Theses to Wittenberg door. And that was, like, just really cool.
Great. Thank you so much, May. Oh, I'm so excited. Now we have Josh Nolet. Josh, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am 18 years old. I am a senior in high school. I am homeschooled. I'm also dual enrolled at Seminole State College in Florida. I'm taking a mathematics class and Spanish class. Some things that I'm interested in are the sound team at church, serving in any way that I can. And I also started a business this past summer making custom-made longboards with different shapes. And I have a Facebook and an Instagram and a website, but that's Common Sense Longboards on Facebook or Instagram.
Thanks, Josh. And they are beautiful boards. And if I were a little bit younger and had better balance, I would get one. Josh, we're talking today about the Heroes for Jesus Party, and you grew up with them also, just like May. And so I was wondering if you could just share some memories that you have from the Heroes for Jesus parties.
We've done them for years. As long as I can remember, we've done this Heroes for Jesus celebration. So I remember doing it back when we rented a building in a shopping complex, and we did something in there. I think I dressed up as like Spider-Man or something like that. Not quite a hero for Jesus, but I was like 6 years old. But we've been doing them for years, and I've seen some of Miss Meredith's children and my brothers and sisters and some other people join in as characters in the group. But honestly, it's just a lot of fun. It's a way that kids can not feel left out from the tradition of Halloween with candy and stuff like that. But it's a way to include candy and just a celebration of Reformation Day with something that's positive. It's not about witchcraft or Halloween or anything like that. So, I mean, I've enjoyed it as a little kid growing up.
Josh, now you've been to a lot of them. And then this last year, you actually were Charles Wesley. So tell us about that, what you did and how you dressed up and all of that.
Well, Jimmy, Miss Meredith's son, was John Wesley, and he was playing my brother. And so what me and Jimmy did is we bought black sweatpants and white soccer socks, and we pulled the sweatpants up to just below our knees. And so we had little white socks and, like, pantaloon things. And then we wore, like, really fluffy shirts and scarves, and one of the ladies in the church made us powdered white wigs for the whole thing. So it was really fun. It was a little goofy and a little silly, but it also looked pretty good. And Jimmy and I we did the best we could to present how we think they would have interacted with people and just the history about them. So it was a way for me and Jimmy to not only learn how to speak, but also to speak to a bunch of different people. And we learned a lot about John and Charles Wesley. And it was really nice for me and Jimmy to be able to work together towards something that was building up people and teaching them. And we got to answer questions. And honestly, it was a good experience for us as high schoolers to be able to do that.
Now, how about the people who were there? Was it just for little kids?
Well, there were a lot of little kids there, but honestly, at our booth, we had a ton of parents coming up to the booth, and the parents honestly asked more questions than the little kids did and wanted to know more about it. But it was parents, young adults, there were other teenagers in amongst it, but it wasn't just for little kids, it was everybody.
And last question, Josh, did you guys play any fun games?
We did. I believe Jimmy and I played tag, and then we played or sang, I can't remember, I think we might have sang hymns, and the group had to guess the hymns, and then they also had to say as many hymns that they could remember from, like, a long time ago.
Awesome. Josh, thank you so much for joining us. Well, you've heard about our book. You have heard from people who participated in the Heroes for Jesus Party. And now I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what we did last year and then what we have planned for this year. Last year we had St. Augustine, and he did the pumpkin illustration of the gospel, where you lift off the lid of the pumpkin and you talk about all the gook inside, the seeds and the yucky stuff, and you scoop it all out, and then you put a light in it. And that's what God does. He scoops out all the junk and he puts his light inside of us. We also had last year Martin Luther and the Wittenberg door. And the kids nailed the 95 theses, little strips of paper, to the Wittenberg door. That was made of corkboard, and Matthew actually mentioned that. We also had the Wesley brothers, John and Charles. Charles wrote an amazing number of hymns. We had Amy Carmichael and we had Corey Ten Boom. Elizabeth Elliott joined us, and Hannah was talking about putting on the bright red lipstick because Elizabeth and her husband were missionaries in the 1950s, along with Nate Saint and his family. And Nate Saint was a pilot. Elizabeth's husband and Nate Saint flew to visit a man-eating tribe, the Aka Indians, and they were actually martyred for their faith there. And so in honor of that martyrdom, we made paper airplanes at Elizabeth Elliott Station. This year we have St. Francis coming, and he was a great lover of nature and animals, and actually a lover of God. He was actually a worship songwriter, and he died singing. We're going to have a stuffed animal hunt with him. And George Mueller was a German missionary to England, where he started an orphanage. And we're going to play an improv game based on his prayers, where he prayed for provision for the orphanage. Brother Andrew was the Bible smuggler when the Eastern Bloc was under communist rule and oppression, and we're going to play a game called Bible Smuggler, Bible Smuggler, Where's Your Bible? Johnny Erickson is going to be there in her wheelchair, and since she actually paints with her teeth, we're going to try our hand at that as well. I don't think we're going to get as beautiful paintings as Johnny does. We are also going to have Lottie Moon, the Southern Belle who went to China and became the cookie lady. And at that booth, we're going to decorate cookies. And finally, we have St. Patrick, who was a British missionary to Ireland. The kids are going to actually make a map of Ireland and places where Jesus overcame the darkness and set people free. So those are the things that we did last year and the things that we plan to do this year. And I hope that you all will consider doing a Heroes for Jesus party. But whatever you do at the end of the month, I pray that you would honor Christ and share the good news that Christ has trampled Satan and all of his darkness under Christ Jesus' feet. Our Jesus rules and he reigns, and we are with him in the kingdom of light. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.